Today we spent our morning meditating on the law of God. And I think one of the most common knee-jerk reactions to thinking and talking about the law of God, which Pastor Paul mentioned, is to kind of rush to our status as New Testament Christians, and often, quite specifically, to the phrase, freedom in Christ. When we talk about the law, sometimes the only meaningful thing people want to say is, well, what about Christian liberty? What about Christian freedom? Doesn't Paul say something about abolishing the law in Ephesians? Didn't you just read a bunch of stuff about freedom from Galatians? Our verse for tonight is 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brothers. And it's true that much has been made about Christian freedom in the various books and magazines and blogs that exist to serve and sometimes vex the church. And it is a topic that is ripe for misunderstanding. And even when understood correctly, it's easy to misemphasize the wrong notes and therefore end up going ever so slightly astray. And going ever so slightly astray usually leads to going very astray. So tonight we're going to stick closely to the text of Galatians as we meditate on the issue of Christian freedom and its relationship to the law. Now, as far as context goes, our verse is a concluding statement. It's kind of a restatement of Paul's entire argument over the relationship between the law and justification. And he kind of transitions into a further discussion over what to do in light of justification by faith. Our verse is explicitly connected to the previous, all that's come previously, by the opening word, for, or because, for you were called to freedom, brothers. See, remember, Paul is viscerally upset by the person or persons who were leading the Galatian church astray. This problem presence, whoever it was trying to argue that being circumcised and following the Mosaic ritual law code was necessary for being justified, for being considered righteous before God. You needed to believe in Jesus, and you needed to keep the Levitical law in order to be in God's good graces. And according to Paul's words throughout his argument in Galatians, the reason such persons were making this claim were twofold. One, they didn't want to face persecution from the Jews, so it was easier just to acquiesce. You buckle under pressure and you say, okay, these things that the people in power believe are important, let's just do them. Number two, it also gave them a sense of religious superiority. It's a way for them to feel self-important because they dotted the relatively unimportant I's and they crossed the trivial T's that they had put into a position of prominence. But as Paul concludes in Galatians 5:13, after three chapters of argumentation, freedom in Christ trumps avoiding persecution or a high status in important religious circles. But this raises two questions for us, especially in light of our meditation on the law this morning. And the answers to these questions are the substance of our meditation on this verse tonight. Two questions, two-part devotional for tonight. The answers will help keep us from going astray on the topic of Christian freedom. The two questions are, what exactly is Christian freedom? And what should you do with Christian freedom? I mean, it might seem obvious that you don't need to ask it, but for our first meditation, what is Paul talking about? What is this freedom? What does freedom in Christ mean? This text is a perfect example of how we should go about answering questions like these when we read the Bible. If we read our verse in total isolation, then we're liable to bringing all sorts of baggage along with the word freedom. We risk misinterpreting the scripture. When we read the Bible, we don't just want to focus on individual words and build our doctrine based on a definition from Webster's. We don't just look up freedom in a dictionary, read something like the power or right to act, think, or speak as one wants without hindrance or restraint, and then assume Paul means that we have been called to act, think, and speak however we want without restraint. Many people have run amok with Christian freedom precisely because they have spent more time trying to shoehorn in their connotations of the word freedom into Paul's use of the word. But instead, we want to read the whole book and see if Paul himself exposits what he means by freedom. And as it happens to be the case in Galatians, he does that for us. Paul defines the freedom that he has in mind in chapters 2 through 4 of Galatians. And when we survey Paul's presentation, we can say in summary that the freedom that we have been called to as Christians is freedom from the curse of the law, and it is freedom from the burden of trying to be justified by our works. Paul's freedom is twofold: freedom from the curse of the law and freedom from the burden of the law. Now remember, as we heard this morning, the law of Moses came with strict stipulations and curses for those who disobey. The book of Deuteronomy has an entire section elaborating on these curses in detail. Let me read you some excerpts from Deuteronomy 27. "Cursed be the man who makes a carved or cast metal image, an abomination to the Lord. Cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or mother. Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. If you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. All these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you till you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that he commanded you." Very serious. And we all, like Israel so many times before us, fail to obey the voice of the Lord our God. Even when we have it so clearly, even when we have access, we all own Bibles, even when it's right before us, we all fail to obey. As Paul says in Galatians 3:10, "All who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." If your hope is in your ability to keep the law, if you try to stand on your merits and your innate goodness and your accomplishments, you are under a curse by God. You will have to face God and face up to just how short you really fall. But as the good news that Paul wants his people not to lose, as he reminds over and over in the good news, Jesus Christ in his person and work came so that in his death, by his death, in his new life, we can be freed from that terrible position under the law as sinners in violation of that law. Galatians 3:13 through 14 says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." Jesus became a curse for us. He suffered the curse for us in our place. So we're no longer liable to the judgment that we deserve because we are all lawbreakers. The curse of the exile, the curse of injury, the curse of death, Jesus took those upon himself. So in Jesus, if we belong to Jesus as one of his people, if he is our representative, then we are now free from the punishment that we deserve under the law. And connected to that, we are also free from the burden of having to try and stand righteous before God by our ability to keep the law. Paul's major point throughout the book is that we are justified by faith. In other words, our standing with God is not dependent on our own performance, it's dependent on Jesus' performance. And Jesus counts us as his, and his works are counted as our works when we look to Jesus in faith. Paul says, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And furthermore, this is all in line with the purpose of the law in the first place. As we heard this morning, as we see here in Galatians, Paul tells us in 3:24, the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. In other words, the law was meant to lead us to justification by faith. As Paul goes on to say to those who might think otherwise, have you even read the law? Read Galatians 4:21, where Paul says, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? He goes on to cite the account of Abraham's two sons as illustrative of the principle that those who are the true people of God are children of promise, and they exist by faith, not by the powers of their own flesh and ability to work or create something for themselves. The law and all the rest of the Old Testament points us to this fact. So within the text of Galatians itself, we're told that the law demands curses for disobedience, that we're all disobedient, that the law is not and cannot be the means of our right standing with God, that the law witnesses to our right standing coming only by faith in Christ, and that the law was meant to lead us here in the first place. So we can summarize that when Paul says we are free in Christ, he means we are free not to face the wrath of God. And we are freely gifted his favor, love, and the inheritance that he's promised us, not based on our ability to earn those things by works. That's the freedom we have. Freedom from the burden of the law. Freedom from the curse of the law. And Paul further elaborates on the nature of this freedom by telling us how we are supposed to use it. And this further clarifies the relationship between Christian freedom and the law. So for our second meditation tonight, let's look at the back half of the verse and answer the question, what do we do with this freedom? Read again 5:13 with me. For you have been called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Paul immediately qualifies the freedom by an admonishment on how we are to use it. He does this by giving us one negative and one positive, and he puts these in opposition to each other. In other words, in some sense, in Paul's mind, these two things are opposites. They're related to each other. They are different poles that you might lean one to or the other. On the one hand, we do not use the freedom for the flesh, and on the other hand, we serve one another in love. Now, the flesh, as I'm sure most of us know, is not a neutral term for Paul. It doesn't just mean our physical nature. When Paul says the word flesh, he is talking about our evil nature. He's talking about the corrupt part of us that wants to do wicked things. As he elaborates in 5:19-21, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. That is the flesh that Paul is talking about. That innate part of us, that corrupt fallen nature, that stone heart that gravitates towards things like these. So we don't use the fact that we are not dependent on our own works for our right standing with God to then go and indulge our corrupt passions however we please. But further, because of the opposition in our verse, we also see how Paul focuses in and highlights the selfish dimension of the flesh. Our wicked nature is naturally self-focused. That's the dimension of the flesh that's in relief in 5:13. Going after your own flesh would result in you not serving each other in love. The flesh pulls us away from love. It is impossible to indulge our sinful nature and at the same time selflessly love those around us. These two things are antithetical to one another. Even your sinful desires that seem most private and most personal and to have the least outward effect are antithetical to loving and serving your brothers and sisters in Christ. So we are to turn away from indulging our own corrupt desires, and we are to turn to our church family. And I want you to note the irony or kind of the genius of the wordplay here. With our freedom, we are to serve one another through love. Did you catch that? With our freedom, we are to serve, to act as a slave to someone else. The verb here is the verbal form of the noun that we translate slave. It's the word that over and over in Galatians, Paul has been using to describe what you don't want to be. Paul said he's been using the slavery freedom metaphor to exhort us to the glories of being justified by faith. He says, you are no longer a slave. Brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. He says, again, do not submit to a yoke of slavery. Over and over, Paul says, you are free, you are free, you are free. And what does he tell us to do with that freedom? Be a slave to each other. Our freedom in Christ doesn't mean we suddenly don't care about the law. Notice the very next verse, Paul grounds this exhortation in the ultimate nature of the whole law. As Pastor Paul demonstrated this morning, the ultimate nature of the law is not, it's not about forbidding any one act. It's about the virtues that the laws themselves witness to. And so Paul can say, following the Lord Jesus, the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Two things. The whole law is fulfilled, and the whole law is fulfilled. In other words, our freedom still cares about the law. It still cares about the law that God gave. We aren't burdened by minutiae. We aren't burdened by our lack. We aren't trapped under wrath, but we still care about the law. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So with your freedom from the burden and your freedom from the curse of the law, go about fulfilling the law by serving one another. What do we do with our freedom? We fulfill the law and we serve. When we talk about Christian freedom, so often the issue is framed in terms of what we can or cannot do, what I can do, what am I allowed to do. We often make Christian freedom too much of a me issue. Now, there is a personal dimension to Christian freedom. We are individually and personally free before God. Free from punishment we individually deserve. Free from the burden of individually having to measure up to the standard that we all woefully fall short of. But the emphasis here in Galatians 5:13 on what then we do with that freedom is communal. It's corporate. Every time Christian freedom is invoked to justify individual concerns of acceptable behavior, the emphasis is at least in danger of being wrongly placed. The first question in the subject of Christian freedom is not, what am I allowed to do? That is a legitimate question at times. But when we talk about Christian freedom, that shouldn't be the first and certainly not the only question that dominates the topic. Instead, let us ask now, unburdened by guilt and fear, unburdened by shame and the religious exhaustion that comes with it, what can we do with our time and energy in order to love those around us so that we might fulfill the law that our Savior revealed to us in His Word so that we might glorify Him? Real Christian freedom, real Christian liberty cares about the people around it because it cares about the law of God. So real Christian freedom cares about both tablets of God's law that we heard about this morning. We care about how we relate to God and how we relate to our neighbor. We care about God and we care about His people. So now that you and I are free from the wrath and punishment we deserve, now that you and I are free from the burden of having to earn our place in God's family, now that we are free, let's be slaves to each other. Now that we are free from the law as our master, Let's fulfill the law because we love our new master who gave us the law, our Lord Jesus. Let's pray.